16th, and welcome everybody. I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 568. And Senator Atkinson, would you like to come up and help us with this bill?
Oh, good.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, members of the committee, distinguished committee administrator, for the record, my name is Jason Atkinson. I'm a state senator from Southern Oregon. This bill is it's a small bill, but it's actually should give all of you some pride in passing it. Several years ago, I think it was 2003, or was it 01? I forget. 03. We passed the Crater Lake National Park bill. No, it was 01. No, it was 03. Anyway, we passed the Crater Lake license plate. The Crater Lake license plate was the first of its kind because it was a flat plate, meaning the numbers weren't raised. And we went through this incredible design criteria, and we created what became, I don't know if you noticed, but it became the nation's fastest-selling plate. And I was joking at the time with members, friends of mine who are on the Cultural Trust, that as much as I like the Cultural Trust and certainly approved of the Oregon Salmon Plan, I gave me a lot of pleasure in having the plate that outsold them all 2-1. But what we had done when we created this is we did it in connection with the centennial of the national park, which is Oregon's only national park. And we did it so that the funds after the administration from the DMV and after the startup costs, the extra money would be put into the National Parks Foundation, and the National Parks Foundation is a separate entity. And I guess the best way to say it is quasi-private government type of a body, would administer those funds, and those funds then would be used at Oregon's only national park. And what we did with them is we actually created the National Park, the Crater Lake National Park Trust and Foundation, and the foundation raised private money in addition to the license plate money, and we rebuilt the historic superintendent's residence back to perfect code and the Science and Learning Center. Then we used the proceeds from the sale of the license plates to do what's called Classroom in Crater Lake, which we have four different counties that are adjacent to the park that send school kids up, which runs Classroom in the Park. And Representative Buckley knows all about it because we've had a huge success with it in Jackson County, a lot of interest in Josephine, Klamath, Douglas, and even in Deschutes County. Well, what had happened was everything's working just wonderfully. In fact, it's working so wonderfully that this thing's making a lot of money. Well, in so doing, the National Park Foundation in Washington, D.C. went through what can be best described as a transition. And in the transition, they quite honestly didn't manage the funds very well, meaning that the accounting mechanism that that was our intent, so that we can be very forthcoming in how those dollars are spent and show and make sure that the corpus of this thing grows so that we can run Classroom at Crater Lake and all these restoration projects off the interest, we couldn't account for it. And we being the client, the trust being the client, and the people of Oregon putting their money into this fund. And it's always been our goal is to have this thing, which worked, like I said, better than we expected, to run into perpetuity. Or as I say, if I ever am lucky enough to have great-grandchildren, they'll say, yeah, my grandfather's involved in this. So what this bill seeks to do after all that is to make a change, which is to change it from the National Park Foundation and bring those funds to be managed by the Oregon Community Foundation. And in so doing, we get the track record of Oregon Community Foundation, which you're all very familiar with. We get the pride of ownership, so to speak, of keeping those dollars here. And then we also get the multiplier effect of interest and through solid investments that they make. And so that's what the bill seeks to do. But I think, just take a few minutes of the committee's time This is a huge success story that I hope all of you visit the park and know that the pride that we have and we have through displaying license plates is going to run a kids program into perpetuity, and this is really a housekeeping bill to ensure that we do that.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you for clearing this all up for us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 568 and open a work session on Senate Bill 568.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 568 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves Senate Bill 568 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion Senate Bill 568 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation will vote the aye, those opposed no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler?
Excuse.
Representative
Gilman?
Yep.
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Excused.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Meyer?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I suggest the consent calendar for this one, or does George want to
carry it? No, we can just put it on the consent.
Yeah. That's consent calendar. No opposition to that? Okay. All right. I'm going to then go ahead and open up Senate Bill 1022. And Judith. A public hearing on Senate Bill 1022, in case I didn't make that clear.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 1022A requires the Oregon Transportation Commission to approve the establishment of any tolls in Oregon, but does not prohibit cities or counties from establishing tolls on highways under their jurisdictions. It establishes sanctions for failure to pay tolls, including a civil penalty of not more than $25, and refusal to renew a vehicle registration. It authorizes the use of electronic toll collection and a photo enforcement system by a tollway operator under conditions set by the commission. It specifies that photos of a vehicle are prima facie evidence that the owner of the vehicle was the driver who did not pay the toll, and further allows a registered owner to recover from the driver or renter of the ticketed vehicle the amount of the toll and civil penalty. It exempts records, including photographs, from public disclosure, specifies to whom records may be disclosed, and stipulates that records may only be used for toll collection and traffic management purposes. It further clarifies which statutory provisions apply to toll projects that are entered into through the Innovative Partnership Program, consistent with the program statutes, and finally repeal certain provisions of existing toll authorizations in statute. I will point out that we do have both a fiscal and revenue impact statement issued on this measure for your reference. The Senate vote on this was 19-9. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. Representative Thatcher, come up.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For record, I'm Kim Thatcher, representative from House District 25, which covers St. Paul, Newburgh, and Kaiser. And I'm here to oppose just part of 1022. I don't object to tolls in principle, but my main objection to the bill would be the section that would allow the creation of tolls on existing roads if those roadways are under the jurisdiction of a local government. And generally, I'm in favor of local control, but in this case, I think decisions like these should either be reviewed by the legislature or the Oregon Transportation Commission, or at the very least, by the voters in the jurisdiction. I just would advocate for more checks and balances here. I think it is appropriate, even if it is a local road, for the state to set standards as to how tolls would be implemented. Earlier this session, I had brought forward a couple of bills, both of which dealt with tolls, because I've been dealing with the situation for a couple of years in my district and hearing time and again that we want oversight. We want some checks and balances. We don't, and we especially don't want tolls on existing roads. That's a huge deal in my district. I just would hope that you would consider taking that into account before passing the bill out. I'm also, just on behalf of my constituents, a little bit leery about the photo enforcement, as it has a little bit of a Big Brother aspect to it, but I understand that we do need to enforce people who evade tolls. I'm just telling them, I'm just a little hesitant, but just at least take into account the local road exemption and put in some little bit more checks and balances, and that's all I would ask. Thank you.
Any questions? Representative Tomei.
Thank you for coming to testify, Representative. Could you show us where on the bill that you have problems?
You know, Madam Chair, I was looking at the amendments, and then I was looking at the bill, and I...
Well, there's an A and Gross bill.
Yes.
Have that?
The A and Gross bill. I was looking... Yes. I could find them easily on this one-sheet amendment.
Uh-huh.
And they're dated April 23rd, and supposedly those are that's the amendment, unless there's another amendment referred to. But in the summary, it does refer to...
Yeah, you'll have to refer to the A and Gross bill.
It's on this page 2.
Page 2. Of the
line 10 through 12.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Being none. Thank you for coming in. Mr. Witte, would you like to come up? Although you didn't sign in.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Doug Tindall, Deputy Director for the Department of Transportation. I didn't sign in either. I thought Mr. Witte didn't care about
that. I was being nice to you.
We'll have a discussion about completed staff work when we get back to the office. just a couple things about the bill. I did not have a chance to talk to Ms. Callens, but I was under the impression that the Ways and Means referral had been rescinded in this bill because the cost portion of the bill, there was a portion that was removed in the A and Gross, and I don't know if that's correct, but that was my impression. But to the bill, just quickly, this is largely a cleanup bill. There are, every time we had a toll road or a toll bridge in Oregon, we seem to create a statute for that specifically, and some of those started to raise questions as we look at other potential projects in the future that there appeared to be potential conflicts between the existing statutes. So largely this bill cleans that up and cleans up those tolling statutes. The other notable thing that this bill does is it allows electronic tolling. Right now, we all of the toll bridges, the toll projects that we've had in the past have been the traditional stop at the gate and throw in a quarter or two quarters into the basket and the gate opens, and that type of tolling is not the state-of-the-art type of tolling. Now you have a card that fits on your dashboard or on your windshield, and you just drive through. You don't have to stop in order to pay the toll. So that's the bill does those two notable things. It provides the cleanup and allows us to enter the electronic tolling age. Mr. Witte is going to describe in more detail the specifics of the bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim Witte, I'm the manager of the Office of Innovative Partnerships at ODOT. What we have under current statute is really three separate tolling regimes. We've got a Chapter 381 that controls interstate bridges, 382 that controls intrastate bridges, and then you have 383 that also controls tolling bridges, and then a separate part of it controls tolling roads. And then you have the Innovative Partnership Program, which was passed after all that, which also can toll roads. And what we've discovered is, with modern projects, we start looking at all this, is that sometimes versions of or pieces of all of them apply to a given project, and they're not integrated the way they should be. And so that's what this bill is really an attempt to do on the housekeeping measures, to integrate that so we know what the rules are. We don't have conflicting award provisions and procurement provisions and all that. They're all one set of rules that covers everything. So that's one part of the house of this bill to clean up. The other portion is the electronic tolling, which is critically important in this day and age with the volume of traffic we have on our roads, to make sure that if we toll, that it's done quickly and easily for the motorist. And so, because we believe if Oregon is ever going to pursue a new toll facility in this day and age, it's got to be easily used by the motorists, or our chances of getting public acceptance are very, very small. The old method of a coins in a basket is quickly dying across the country and the world, for that matter. In fact, if you think about it, it's difficult to imagine the old toll bar used for the original Columbia River crossing in 1917 today, with you've got 140,000 trips going across that. It just wouldn't work. So you need something that's modern. Now, you may recall that in February, I gave you an informational briefing on electronic tolling. We had slides up on everything. I described how today's electronic tolling allows nonstop collection of tolls via transponders or toll tags, and that it allows efficient and relatively inexpensive collections. I also explained how the back room, the customer service center worked, the ease of obtaining transponders and toll tags, and how the photographic enforcement works. In fact, if anybody needs to have them, I have those slides available today that I can distribute to you. But I decided not to go through them again. The legislation before you today provides essential legal elements for enforcement of tolls collected in an electronic system. The most critical provision in the bill is requirement of toll payment. That might sound odd, but there was no requirement for toll payment in the old statutes. Why? Well, look at the photograph on the first page of my testimony. You see there's a gate off to the right side of the photograph. That's all you needed. You closed the gate, nobody could go past. But so that we call that the toll bar. And in today's day and age, in some places you may have been, you've seen the toll bar that goes up. We don't need a physical toll bar. We need a legal toll bar. And that means a requirement to pay a toll. The bill also provides authority to collect unpaid tolls and allows a photo enforcement system. And then protects toll records from disclosure. They're basically not public records. Without these elements, electronic toll collection systems cannot be realistically implemented in Oregon. We don't know whether tolling is going to be acceptable by Oregonians of the projects going forward, but we do know that if we have electronic tolling, the chances are is much better that it will be acceptable. I think that basically describes what the bill does, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Representative Tomei?
Thank you. Thank you so much for testifying today, Mr. Witte. I just want to understand. So tolling by law is now allowed in Oregon. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have, like I said, four different toll statutes.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess I don't see any other questions, but we just heard from Representative Thatcher some of her concerns. Do you have any responses to her concerns?
Yes, the original bill in the Senate did not have that language in it when it was introduced. It was at the local governments wanted to make sure their authority was not affected by this bill. If they had the authority to toll, they wanted to keep it, and they didn't want to surrender it to ODOT. And we decided, well, you know, that's fair. If they want to toll something, why should they have to come to us for it if it's not, doesn't affect our system? And so that's what the language was meant to do. It doesn't change ODOT's authority to toll existing capacity or not. That is largely governed by federal law anyway. And so I don't think it changes anything that the locals do either. It just means that this bill does not affect whatever authority the locals have under current law. That's what the language is intended.
Or local ordinance.
Or local ordinance, yeah.
So what I'm gathering is her concerns, this bill, I mean, there really isn't anything in this bill that sets up the tolling of existing roads. It's already there. This does not implement anything new or...
Yes, Madam Chair. We don't think it changes anything in that regard.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Mike Marsh, did you want to talk on this? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh, and just for the record, there is no subsequent referral on this bill, so... No subsequent referral, because it just is changing statutes.
It's permissive.
Okay. Yes, go ahead and identify yourself.
I'm Michael Marsh. I live here in Salem. I'm here as a citizen. And I've read the bill, and what it does is authorize and use the word implement. Maybe it doesn't implement any changes, but it authorizes a toll to be placed on every, and I'm quoting the bill itself, every road, bridge, and bike path in Oregon. I don't think this is acceptable, and I think if more people knew about this proposed statute, you would be hearing a lot of outrage from the citizenry. So I would urge you to vote no and squash it here in the committee. Any questions?
Representative Buckley.
Thank you. Especially, I'm trying to follow the bill as well, and just from the previous testimony, it sounds like cities and counties already have the right to put a toll on a road if they care to. They could put a toll on every bike path in every road right now if they wanted to.
Well, the cities and counties and state, they're not telling the citizens that they have the authority, and they're not doing it. And with this statute, it opens that door. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none? Representative Smith?
Madam Chair, I guess I have a question for Judith. My understanding is that this is cleaning up the existing statute, bringing it together, tightening it up under kind of one umbrella. Am I missing something in Senate Bill 1022 that deletes out the old language? I apologize if I'm missing it.
Deletes out what? Madam Chair, I could hear the question. Deletes out what?
Current language. My understanding was, Representative Tomei, that this bill is cleaning up existing legislation, bringing together, consolidating it, putting it under one umbrella. I was curious if there was also language in here that deleted out then the old language that we're now cleaning up.
Chair Beyer, Doug Tindall again. Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, Section 19 on page 11.
Okay.
Is the one that deletes all of the old statutes that are then replaced by this.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Before you go, our last testimony, I just wanted to clarify that this doesn't do anything that doesn't already exist.
Chair Beyer, that's correct. On page 2, line 33, where tollway is defined, which does include a bicycle path, that is existing law. Huh. That is not a new statute.
Representative Representative Butler? I'm Buckley. See, I'm missing him.
I see missing him, Madam Chair. I'll try to talk like him. I don't know. The one thing it does do, though, it does authorize the electronic toll collection system. And that is the new thing in this bill. So just to clarify that.
Thank you.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes,
I don't know why I have trouble with a microphone right there. Following up on Representative Buckley's question, we already have tolling statutes.
Right.
This new addition really is doing nothing more than making it more efficient for Oregonians rather than having to pull over and plunk coins in. Right.
That agree?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, no other testimony. Do you want to add that to the record?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, you should have in your packet from the materials that were passed out at the last meeting an email that I received from a Mr. Ed Johnston regarding this bill, and we just want to note that his email is submitted for the record and before the committee in their meeting materials. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1022 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1022.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1022A engrossed to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 1022A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none. Those of the opinion, Senate Bill 1022A should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Butler?
Aye.
Representative Butler?
Oh, excuse.
Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Beyer?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Reed, would you be willing to carry this bill?
I'd be pleased to. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1022 and open a work session on Senate Bill 567A.
Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 567A is the measure that we have had one public hearing on. It permits a road authority to immediately take custody of a car or light truck that is abandoned, disabled, or left parked unattended on a highway in such a location that is a hazard or obstruction to traffic regardless of the time of day. I did pass out a letter from, this is a letter from Amy Joyce from Department of Transportation, who's in the room. Should you have questions of her regarding the definition of hazard? You also have a letter from Bob Russell indicating that there have been three known crashes of vehicles into disabled trucks in the calendar year 2006 that he could locate. This measure does have, this measure has no revenue and no fiscal impact statement received on that. The Senate vote was 28-0 with two absent off the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. I have a feeling there might be someone here if we had any questions. But does anyone have any questions? Are we okay? All right.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 567A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. I want to thank Mr. Russell for getting us that letter.
Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 567A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just comment that I think this bill's a good move. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in terms of citizens being able to get their cars off of the side of the road. Are there going to be conflicts over the next couple of years where people will be upset that their car got towed? I look forward to seeing how it works out, though I do think it does need to work out.
Thank you. Representative Gilmer.
Madam Chair, I'm going to be a no vote on this.
Okay.
It's just, I still have some problems, not very well defined.
Okay. You're okay.
Madam Chair, I
didn't know if you wanted to.
Oh, I appreciate it, Madam Chair. I can definitely see logic behind Senate Bill 567. I guess I still have a concern for lower income Oregonians who perhaps could have what I would perceive as a life altering event if they had to pay $1,000 or whatever the fee would be. I'm sure it's going to be significant to get their vehicle out of a towing yard, particularly if it was over nothing more than a loss of gasoline, at running out of gas, and it was occurring at a non-rush hour time. So I'm going to be a no vote.
Thank you. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be a yes on this vote. I was at a hearing where there were people from, and probably we've had this same information here, people from the Transportation Commission talking about the tremendous problem in the metropolitan area with gridlock. And one of the problems is these cars that are parked along the side of the way, especially in the metropolitan area, and how important it is to remove those rather than going through the laborious process where it is now with having to notify and put those little notices on the cars, et cetera, before they can tow them off. So I think this is a good, without a lot of expense, is a good way to start addressing some of those issues regarding gridlock. So I'll be voting yes.
Thank you. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be yes as well. And I wanted to acknowledge Representative Smith's comments. And I had some of the same concerns when I first heard about the bill, but was persuaded by some of the language near the end of the first page of the bill that talks about the hazard lights and a short passage of time raised to the vehicle or advance warning with flares and signs and so on. It would give folks an opportunity if they're simply seeking gas or mechanical help that they'd be okay.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Tomei has moved. I think we're there, right?
Yeah. There.
Senate Bill 567A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Those of the opinion. See, my script is gone and I'm lost. Those that agree will vote aye. Those that don't will vote no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Excuse, yes.
Representative Gilman?
No.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Meyer?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Tomei, would you like to carry the bill?
I would be happy to do that.
Thank Madam Chair, I want to share one thought with you.
Yes.
Last session, down in Ways and Means, which was my third term in the building, I was chairing that committee, and I have to tell you, no matter how many times you hear the process of moving a bill, I think I darn near forgot it every single time. So I have tremendous sympathy.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 567A and open a work session on Senate Bill 219. And everybody, thank you for trying to move on without me, and I apologize, and we'll try to finish that up today. Mike Marsh. Do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 219 has come back before us. We had passed this bill out, as you remember, allowing the Department of Transportation, or allowing the Employment Department to share information with the Department of Transportation for the purposes of collecting debts and delinquent taxes. The Dash 1 amendments resolve conflicts as Senate Bill 197 now reorganizes that section of statute, and so the language is then reorganized in the same fashion if that bill does become law. I had pointed out a slight difference in what I found in the language of the conflict resolution amendment, and for those of you that weren't here, for your benefit, we were talking about let me find that again. On page 9 of the amendment, starting on line 11, it says the Department of Transportation may not disclose any information received to any private collection agency, which was in the bill that you have already passed out. And then I found a couple of these extra 5 words, or for any other purpose. And that raised some concerns. So Mr. Marsh is here to talk to us about what those extra words really mean.
Madam Chair, Mike Marsh from the Department of Transportation. Yes, here to help clarify that. As your staff has indicated on page 9, on line 11, it says the department may not disclose for any any information received to any private collection agency or for any other purpose. The other purpose part that's mentioned is referring back to the prior sentence. And in the prior sentence, it says on line 4, the information disclosed is confidential and may not be disclosed. It's a long sentence. It goes on to say, in essence, except as necessary for the collection of debts. And then the following sentence is modifying back to that, saying that you may not give it to a private collection agency or for any other purpose other than for the collection of debts. That was the intent. That's what's in the current statute for the Department of Revenue, who has that authority. And I'm sorry we didn't have a quick answer for you on Monday, but that's the result. So we're comfortable. It's been tested and out in current law for the Department of Revenue, and we're comfortable with the adjustment as made by staff.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 219 to the floor with a
view.
I move. Thank you so much. The Dash 1 amendment. Senate Bill 219.
Representative Tomei moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 219. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? So ordered.
Now, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 219A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
As amended. Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 219 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion House Senate Bill 219A should be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Buckley? Aye.
Representative Butler?
Yes.
Representative
Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Tonet?
Aye.
Chairman Meyer? Aye. Motion carries.
Of course, that was the original carrier.
Okay, we can give it back to Representative Butler then.
That's been carrying that bill. Carry it on.
Work session on Senate Bill 219 is closed.
Yes.
Okay. I have to figure out the script, right? Representative Smith requests the unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. No. Is that right?
That's right.
Yep.
another representative has to be.
Oh. Madam Chair, I recommend that the rules be suspended and Representative Smith do whatever the heck he wants to.
Any objection?
Oh, so much for that one.
Madam Chair, it's a motion to suspend the rules to allow representatives to vote for a bill in that bill.
568.
Senate Bill 568.
Senate Bill 568.
Any objections? Hearing none. Representative Smith, how would you vote?
I'm an aye, and colleagues, thank you. I was called to the Speaker's office, and so I apologize for not being here.
Oh. so recorded. Thank you. And we are adjourned.